Hello, everyone. Welcome again to the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good, and He is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And we just did a broadcast and a half about the things of the Holy Spirit last week. And I thank God for that. And this week, we're going to continue showing you how Jesus came to represent the Father to a world that terribly misunderstood the Father. And in some cases, they didn't even love the Father. They didn't love God. Their thoughts and opinions were shaped by a terrible worldly view. And God wants to be represented as He really is. And when we represent God as He is, that's bearing fruit. If you ever wonder, what is it to bear fruit? It's representing the Father as He is, by the Word of God, by what He's revealed to Moses and the prophets. Now, Jesus had to show people God's heart. They had drifted so far because they allowed, the Jewish people, they allowed the Gentile nations to remain in Canaan land. And they were full of witchcraft and idolatry. All kind of abominable acts did they do. And then Israel started, the people of God started doing to the world. The people of Israel started acting just like the people in Canaan. They were they didn't drive them out, so they began to operate like them, to the point that they terribly misunderstood who God was. But when Jesus came, being the perfect will of God in their sight, they hated Him. And sometimes people, even in modern times, people believe things about God that's just not true. They believe He came to... Sometimes people believe that He took their loved ones from them. What the problem was, they didn't know how to resist Satan. They didn't know how to fight. Sometimes people they live with bad habits. And those things cause medical problems. And sometimes people have accidents that don't mean that God took them. And we're going to show you things that Jesus Himself cleared up while He was on the earth. In this life, there are so many misconceptions. And people, they have a warped sense of how sowing and reaping works. And see, every time something bad happens to somebody, don't mean that that it was a judgment of God. Sometimes accidents happen. Sometimes people do things that is just dangerous, like speeding in a car. You can put your life at jeopardy and somebody has nothing to do with you in jeopardy. Texting and driving. So when somebody texts and drives and kills somebody else or hurts somebody else or break their back or whatever, that's God's not behind it. That's why we need to pray over everything. When we travel, pray. When your children leave the home, pray for their safe return. There's things happen in this life that's not God's will. When parents dedicate their children to the Lord, I'm going to tell you something about prayer. When I was a kid riding motorcycles and mini bikes and stuff, my dad bought me a go-kart, then he bought me a mini bike when I got a little older. Eventually a motorcycle, because he was into those things. And I enjoyed it. It really helped. That's how I became a mechanic in the first place. See, sometimes the things you do, God can use for other situations. And if my friend Joe didn't turn my go-kart over, I wouldn't have started working on it. That's how I watched Phil Hatcher. He was a friend of my dad, and he came and fixed the carburetor that was broken. And I watched what he did, and I started doing it. And Phil Hatch was a blessing. But anyway, that's how I became a mechanic. I just did what I saw him do, and I didn't know I was good at it. I wouldn't have never known it unless I was so motivated to ride the go-kart that I started working on it. Well, guess what? When we... I did dangerous things. That was the point I wanted to make. when we would ride, we did stunts, okay? We did dangerous stuff. We went where we wasn't supposed to. We went deep in the woods. Nobody would have known how to get to us if we had gotten knocked out or something, if we fell and got hurt. But prayer. My parents prayed for me. When I was a kid, even in elementary school, sometimes I would plan to do what my friends was doing, and it was wrong. But every time I tried to do it, it wouldn't work because my mother and my father was praying for me. We did dangerous stuff. We did some dangerous stuff on those motorcycles. We went fast as they could go. We almost got hit by cars and it, but we came back home. And I'm one of the rare ones. I didn't get any broken bones because God. See, prayer, when you pray for people, you get God involved. If you get God involved, you can be safe in this very dangerous world. Now, if an accident happened and somebody died, that don't mean God was behind it. But Satan will try to make it look like God is behind it, because preachers say that God is in full control. Actually, he's not in full control. You have a choice to pray for protection. You have a choice to pray for correction. You have a choice about what you eat. You know that if you eat too much fried food as a way of life, it's going to clog your arteries up. You see the people taking heart medication all the time on TV, all kind of drugs. It's because of poor choices. But if you make good choices, some things you don't have to go through. Not only that, the Holy Spirit can guide you to make the best choices. Now, God can't do nothing about the fact that you chose not to do something that you should be doing. And he can't make you do it. And he can't always get you out of the danger unless you involve him. And sometimes it takes a lifestyle change. But when the worst happens, it's not God's fault. He don't go around killing folks. And if he had to judge somebody, he always warned them first. He gave them warnings. A friend of mine was selling drugs. And I said, I had a dream that he was dead. And I woke up, I said, Lord, what? I was at the funeral, and I saw the same church where his daddy got buried. Had his funeral. I saw him in a casket. And I said, man, I said, Lord, what was this about? He said, if he don't stop what he's doing now, he's going to die. So I had to go tell him. I said, Joe, I had a dream about you. I dreamt you was dead. If you don't stop what you're doing now, you're going to die. He kind of smirked, you know, he didn't believe it. 10 years went by and he got killed. But I found out before he died, he tried to stop. But the wisdom was, you got to stop now. It wasn't God that killed him. Sowing and reaping. See, there are laws of sowing and reaping. You can lengthen your days and shorten your days. If you sell drugs, you're hurting other people. And what you do to others will affect what happens to you. But God's not behind it. You are. And God was showing him, if you stop now, you'll live and not die. But if you keep on, you're going to die. God is merciful. He's told him. He lived 10 years. And then they killed him. Now, but God ain't behind it. And look at what Jesus said here in Luke chapter 13. See, Jesus had to point some things out. There were so many people had, when they get dogmatic about stuff, they don't listen. And this was the persuasion, and Jesus had to address it. This was not just the persuasion of a few people. It was a persuasion of all of them. All right, because Jesus had to clear it up. The religious group, the scientific group, the worldly group, all of them, they just believe all these kind of things. Jesus is talking in verse 1, Luke 13, verse 1, saying, there were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye will likewise perish. Now, why did they die? It was because of Herod. I mean, a Pilate. For some reason, Pilate did this. All right, let's look at another one. Are those, verse 4, are those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and slew them? Think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, you shall likewise perish. You know, towers don't just fall every day. So people trust to stand near them. But when it fell, it got people that was in the path of it. It wasn't God's doing. But they perished. But if you don't repent, you're going to perish. That's a fact. If you die without a covenant with God through Jesus Christ, you will go to hell and you will perish. You don't want the second death. The first death is bad enough, but not the second one. The second one is terrible. He used the situation to do two things. To show people that God is not with this. He's not in this. And in fact, God probably gave them some dreams to stay to not go near the tower. But people discount, you know, if they could receive a dream from them, they probably didn't shook it off, didn't think about it. But God give people, I've heard Christian people, they go and they have an accident and then they say, something told me not to do that. That show you right there, God ain't in. He was trying to protect us, but you're so disconnected from him, you don't listen to him. And that don't need to happen. And some of you do. You listen to him. And that's what the Holy Spirit came to do. He came to guide us in all truth. Once he guides you, your faith will take it from there. You'll believe God and you'll avoid the problem. And that's what Jesus is showing us. There are countermeasures. You got to get in on it. But God, if you think God is behind it, now you're going to be mad at God. And he ain't got nothing to do with it. And some people die believing God had a vendetta against them. And their children. And they mad because their wife died prematurely. If we would draw near to the Lord, sometimes he'll reach us and show us what to do. And show us what's coming. So that we can pray and stop the problem. And he wants to. But he can't take over your life and make you choose the right thing. Now, these broadcasts are on newlivingletters.com. Newlivingletters.com. Everything is free, and this broadcast is on there in real time, and you ought to hear the second half of this. Remember, the first 15 minutes go on the radio. The whole thing is on the whole broadcast is on newlivingletters.com. It's almost 30 minutes. Now, and I want you to learn. So sometimes you're just going to have to take time and invest in yourself and hear the word. You know, you can cut something out, cut some of the TV time and give it to the Lord. Let God train you. It's a lot of things the Lord wanted. It's more interesting than anything they put on TV. And some of the things they put on TV ain't worth watching anymore. They just blaspheme and it's just, you know, that hurts. That's hurting you. But the knowledge of God will protect you. Remember something. God wants you to have a better life. And the enemy will, he'll lie on God. He'll make you think heaven is boring. If you watch the best movie and laugh at it and enjoy it on this earth, and they can make some good movies and interesting movies, think about people in heaven full of the love of God. They can make some interesting movies. And see, the enemy on this, in this realm, people that are very creative, he try to get them in the darkness. And some people are breaking through, and they operate from the love of God. And they're breaking through and using their creativity. You know, I was in a band before, and we made some good, interesting songs, some good songs. And not all of them weren't good, but some of them were, they were good songs. But, and see, there's good music and bad music. It, even if it's not Christian music per se, some music is good, some music is evil. Well, the rich producers, in the 80s, they were pushing the evil songs more than the good songs, because the devil got in it. And they were rich. They were rich. But when you do wrong and serve the devil, something always happened to that money. You can't, it'll be divided from you some kind of way. But the people of God, I've known musicians personally that were much more talented than anybody I ever heard. But they weren't rich. And they, and even the ones that knew how to go to the studio, they could do everything that, you know, studio wise, they didn't know how to manage. So you never will hear what they can do. There's a lot of people very highly talented, but they don't know how to manage it. They don't know how to promote it. But the people that are promoting, a lot of them belong to the devil. And that's not God's fault. But some people, they know how to promote and manage and get investors and push things forward. Now, by the Holy Spirit, we can do this. And with modern technology, it's much easier. You know, we need Holy Ghost people, that people full of the Holy Ghost and the love of God, to write movies and plays and books. But most people just want to preach when they're a minister. Ministry is much more than that. I just took that aside to show you that. But God is fun, folks. And if you ever know him as he is, he is fun to be around. And also, he can make you laugh. He gave me a dream. I woke up out of a dream laughing with one of them belly laughs. It was so funny what God showed me. He know how to... We laugh because he laughs. We love comedy because he loves comedy. But it's more serious. The business at hand is getting people to see Jesus. That's more important than everything else. But see, when you love God, let's say you love comedy, for instance. God know how to do comedy. He know how to... He is awesome. But if you don't know him, you won't know that about him. So, I want to finish clearing some things up. Jesus pointed out these things. A lot of people would say, well, since the tower fell, they were evil. Well, God don't go around killing evil people. He warned them first. If he's behind it, he warned them. When Babylon was going into captivity, he raised up Jeremiah to tell him that a few kings came to Babylon for whatever reason. It was verse 20, chapter 25 or 26. And Jeremiah made this, he made a yoke. A yoke is what they tie two ox together to pull a heavy load. And he made this yoke, and he said, everybody that don't put their neck under the yoke of King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, he's going to be killed or taken prisoner. But if you give your life to the King Nebuchadnezzar, I could read, I'm just paraphrasing it, you'll live and you go into Babylon. He said, because God gave him all the nations and all the people and all the animals. And he's going to take him to Babylon. And he did. And he, But those that wouldn't surrender to him and give them his life, their lives, they were going to be killed. And all of this happened because God was in it. So, and when the king of Assyria was going to come against Israel, he told Isaiah to warn them so many years before this. See, they went into Assyrian captivity in the days of Isaiah, and they went into Babylonian captivity in the days of Jeremiah. And both of these prophets told them what was going to happen. And the people didn't repent, and then it happened. Well, the people at the Tower of Siloam, that tower fell because somebody didn't build it right, or some army knocked it down, or something went wrong with it. But the people that were there, 18 people got hurt and killed. But God wasn't in it. So every time somebody die, God's not in it. Sometimes it's just an accident, an unfortunate accident. And sometimes the devil's behind it. But he'll blame God, because when people say God is in full control, that throw people off. When preachers say that, and God is not in full control. Jesus said, "I came to give you life and that more abundantly." But the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. That's how it is. And he warned him. He said, "But if you don't repent, if you live in your sin, you're going to perish too. It's just down the road. And you won't live. You might get saved and love God and you still might get hurt. But God ain't behind it. But if you know that something can go wrong, all you have to do is pray for your future. Pray for your life. I often pray for my wife. When my wife is driving, I say, "Lord, bring her back home safe." My children, I got three children that drive and go to work. I say, "Lord, keep them safe." They were kidnapping girls and putting them in the slavery, sex slavery. I pray for my daughters. You know, it's some mean people out there in this vicious world. This is a crazy world. Everybody don't love God. Some people are just evil. But the Holy Spirit, give God something to work with, and he can protect your people. I didn't know God when I was doing all them stunts on the motorcycles, going where I wasn't supposed to go, and I knew I wasn't supposed to go that far away. I didn't have license yet. I was disobedient. But I hid my ways from my parents. They didn't know how crazy I was. But they did pray for me, and I never got a bone broken, and I never got hurt. But I fell one time, but I still didn't break anything. Messed my motorcycle up a little bit, but I rode it back home, tore my jeans up, and I stopped driving so fast. See, motorcycles, you can ride them. They get dangerous when you get carried. You get so skilled at riding, it's an illusion. You think you can't fall. You really believe you ain't nothing you can do to fall, but that's a lie. If you ride enough, you learn you lean deeper and deeper in the curves. But it rained that day and it had a little mud on the ground. And when I hit it, that motorcycle went right out from under me. Hurt too. But I wasn't going too fast in that curve. But it skimped me up pretty good. And it woke me. I didn't ride the same for a while. You know, But I thank God for his protection. And it was better for me to fall in that curve like I did, because I was getting so cocky. I may have had a worse accident. But the point is this: God wasn't in me falling. You know, he don't say, "Well, I'm going to knock him off the motorcycle." God don't do stuff that way, folks. Now, you can use a situation, you know, and learn from any situation, but God didn't, he don't go around knocking people off their motorcycle, killing people before that time. He go about doing good, like Jesus. And I love to point these things out because people need good information for a change. Let's see. Let's look at another one. I don't know how much time I got, but let's look at this one. This is Luke chapter 12. I mean, Luke 7, verse 12. Luke chapter 7, verse 12. And there's one before it I want to get to. Well, verse 11 says, "And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now, when he came near to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people of the city was with her. And when the man saw her, he had compassion on her and said, when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier," which is what he was laying on, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he was dead, and he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that people have visited, and God has visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region.